You're listening to Health Cetera in the Catskills on WIOX Community Radio, live and local in the Catskill Mountains at 91.3 FM and MTC Cable Channel 20. And if you're on the campus of SUNY Delhi, you can listen at 107.5 FM. And you can listen everywhere at WIOXradio.org. WIOXradio.org. While the COVID pandemic created unimaginable situations for patients, their families, and healthcare workers, including nurses who put their own lives on the line to care for highly contagious patients, why would somebody do this? Nurses and most other healthcare workers are inculcated with what is called a duty to care, an obligation to do whatever is necessary to care for patients, even if it puts the worker at risk. Nurses went from being heroes, as I mentioned in the first half of the program, heroes cheered in the streets during the height of the pandemic, to the targets of violence, as we just heard about violence from Dr. Scott Hutton in the American Academy of Nursing. Doctors Jody Sutherland and Rosemary Collier are two registered nurses who published a study on nurses' duty to care in the May issue of the American Journal of Nursing. Dr. Sutherland is an assistant professor at the Decker College of Nursing and Health Sciences, the State University of New York, SUNY, at Binghamton. And Jody, let me start with you, and welcome to Health Cetera in the Catskills.
Hi.
Good to have you.
It's so great to be here today. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Sure. And Dr. Rosemary Collier is also an assistant professor. I've just promoted you, Rosemary. She's an assistant professor at the Decker College of Nursing at SUNY Binghamton. Thank you for being here on today's program to talk about your study, Rosemary.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be with you.
So let's start with talking about this concept of duty to care. It is something that in nursing we know about, and other health professions know about a duty to care, although I'm not quite sure everyone is inculcated as much as nurses are about that. So what are we talking about? What does this mean? What does it encompass? Jody, do you want to start?
Yes, thank you. So duty to care is defined as the nurse's primary commitment, right? And that primary commitment is to the patient. And that can include an individual, family, group, community, or population. The leading organization for nursing, the American Nurses Association, states that nurses have a duty to care for patients and are not at liberty to abandon them. And the ANA recognizes and acknowledges that there may be limits to the personal risk of harm nurses can be expected to accept as an ethical duty. You know, so therefore, nurses are analyzing conflicts between professional and personal values, including other life responsibilities, priorities, and how they may intersect with the healthcare delivery system. You know, for an example, during COVID-19, nurses experienced feeling torn between caring for a patient who had COVID and then going home to care for a family member and potentially exposing them to COVID and transmitting the virus to someone else.
Yeah, I know nurses who actually didn't go home. They actually stayed in a hotel room or in a vacant apartment or what have you. I mean, they just didn't want to be exposing their family. And the question is, you know, should they be expected to get their own hotel room so they don't expose their families to something like this?
Exactly.
I think it's also today, even though we don't have COVID, to me, another example of this conflict between duty to care and the risk that it may pose to the nurse is when institutions, hospitals, and other healthcare organizations have mandatory overtime policies where a nurse is told, you have to stay today, another shift. And yet that nurse may have children coming home and they would be alone if she doesn't go home. Or there may be other circumstances at home. And so you're asking the employee to choose between their job, which is important for the sustenance of the family, and the safety and protection and care of their family. Is that a fair comparison, Rosemary?
I think that is a fair comparison. And in New York State, mandatory overtime is not legal for nurses for partly that reason, because you have these alternative competing duties. And I think it's important to kind of assess the role of the organization as well. There's a lot of organizations that have historically understaffed nursing on purpose. There was a great story in the New York Times a couple of years ago that called out the Ascension Network for doing just this, just systematically understaffing nurses to cut down on labor, including not filling several hundred nursing positions on purpose. And in a situation like that, if you're sort of staffing on an austerity budget at all times, if you have something like an ill call, it sends you directly into a disaster situation. So this is a problem that could really easily be solved in many cases by having perhaps one or two more nurses than you think you might need. In that case, if you did have, you know, an ill call or somebody's late to work, it's not so much a disaster as just a sort of small hiccup. So the nurse's duty to care in situations like this, I think, needs to be compared pretty directly to the organization's duty to provide care to their populations as well.
Well said. And I you were talking about labor costs, I believe, and trying to reduce labor costs. But and I want to get back to the organization's role in a little bit. But why? Let's talk about why you actually did this study. Why? What compelled you to do this?
Yeah, so I'll answer that. So at nursing's core is this concept of caring. That's our duty to care. And by caring, nurses promote healing and wellness. Caring builds trust between the nurse and patient and establishes a therapeutic relationship. Often patients who know someone who cares for them and about them, those patients will have better health outcomes and engagement with the healthcare system. And so, you know, as the COVID-19 pandemic unfolded and evolved, I really felt a visceral response to conduct a study so that nurses' voices and experiences could be recorded and documented.
Yeah.
I hope that organizations and healthcare systems can learn what nurses need from their employer and their organization so that they can then support nurses and their duty to care and willingness to work during a pandemic.
So give us the cliff notes on how you conducted this study.
So yeah, this was a cross-sectional descriptive study. It was conducted at two accredited nursing programs in the Northeast. Right, we invited licensed nurses enrolled in the RN completion programs, master's, or PhD nursing programs. Recruitment occurred through email invitations, and the email invitation included a link to the online survey. Each participant reviewed and agreed to the consent statement, and the survey included demographic characteristics as well as the 19-item NASH duty to care scale. And that NASH duty to care scale includes four subscales. And those four subscales are perceived risk, confidence in employer, perceived obligation, professional preparedness. And all the survey responses were anonymous and not linked to the email address or consent agreement. And all this data was collected in the late spring of 2020.
Ah, wow, that was the late spring, was as it was peaking. Right away, I want to know what happens if you go back to those people and ask them again. I'd be interested in that. But let's go to, I want to make sure we get in your findings. So Rosemary, do you want to start with what you actually found in this study?
I'm going to let Jody take this one because she has some prepared findings here.
Okay. Yeah.
So our analysis was done, and participants were grouped. So those nurses who responded to our survey, they got grouped into low and high perceived duty to care groups. Nearly 100 nurses participated in the study, and they were primarily female, and a majority of them reported working in the healthcare setting at the time of data collection. Four items determined the separation for the high and low perceived duty to care nurse groups. And those four items were in the subscales for perceived obligation, so their perceived obligation, and their perceived risk. So just to expand on that a little bit more, right, perceived obligation in our survey was measured in two items. So one of the items focused on the obligation to the profession, colleague, and employer, and another item focused on obligation to work because it is morally the right thing to do. Obligation to report to work because it is morally the right thing to do. When it came to perceived risk subscale, again, there were two items in that subscale, and an item focused on the nurse having sufficient communication equipment to maintain contact with family, and an item about having sufficient personal protective equipment to maintain safety.
Which we know that personal protective equipment was not readily available in the early part of the pandemic, and that was a real issue, right?
It was a real issue. I mean, really, how this translates is that nurses need to be able to call home during their work hours, right? They needed to check in on their family to know what was going on at home with other family members and loved ones. And they needed to have access to their cell phone to be able to call and answer their phone, right? And it also means that nurses needed personal protective equipment, right? And that means having an N95 mask, goggles, gowns, any other personal protective equipment to do their job safely, so that they could do their work and then return home at the end of their shift, knowing that they would not affect someone whom they lived with or transmit the virus to someone else.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that you point out, you have some concern about that I was glad you pointed out, is that 39% of the respondents ended up in that low perceived duty to care group. So you've got almost four out of 10 nurses at the time who say, well, I don't really have a strong duty to care here. And there's a lot of concern about that as we move forward. You talk a little bit in your article about that, but I'm wondering if you have any sense at all about whether those are the nurses who end up leaving or the nurses who end up staying in healthcare, in their jobs.
I would be really interested, as you mentioned, to do a little bit of longitudinal follow-up to take a look at. And as you mentioned, I think there's a kind of crisis with nurses either planning to leave or leaving specifically these direct care jobs. As you know, nursing is a huge profession, and there's a sort of wide variety of different jobs that are available to nurses. But when we think of nursing, particularly with regard to the pandemic and with duty to care, a lot of the times we're thinking of acute care positions, direct care positions, and that duty to care can really make the determination about whether nurses are willing to stick out difficult situations and sort of continue to care even when, the situations, be it the pandemic or the general healthcare environment, is really less than ideal.
So you also point out that there were no items in the confidence in employer subscale that were relevant to whether you were put in the high perceived risk group or the low high perceived duty to care group or the low perceived duty to care group. And yet you do speak about the obligation of healthcare organizations here related to how to help nurses who are concerned about communicating with their family, who are concerned about being able to fulfill an obligation to care. Comment, tell us a little bit about what you think healthcare organizations' duty to care is.
So most actively working nurses in the United States today are working for private corporations. About 80% are working either for for-profit or not-for-profit corporations. Nurses are not out there freelancing on their own. Most nurses are not operating independently in their nursing practice. They're hourly, non-exempt employees for organizations. These corporations really don't have a corresponding ethical obligation or duty to care outside of meeting, you know, baseline federal, state, or local regulations and outside of their accreditation requirements. So it's, I don't think, you know, quite fair to hold nurses who are hourly paid employees to higher standards than their employers. So, for example, I had this direct kind of ethical quandary myself. I work in the emergency department to think, am I willing to go to work? Am I willing to go clock in to a hospital that maybe can't provide me with adequate PPE? Is my obligation to care greater than the hospital's obligation to keep me safe when I'm at work, given that I am, again, working for this corporation? And most corporations, particularly not-for-profit corporations, do have a kind of agreement with their communities where instead of paying local taxes and property taxes, they do have an obligation to provide community services. A lot of these community services will include free health care for people that are eligible for that health care. Other obligations can include providing research that helps the community and then providing educational opportunities for physicians and nurses and other health care workers. And there's been a lot of news in recent years of not-for-profit corporations failing to meet these obligations. They're really not providing the appropriate care to their own communities. So again, I think it's a little disingenuous to turn around and say that nurses have an obligation to report for work, you know, with inadequate PPE, without being able to contact their family, you know, with the expectation that they don't know when their shift is going to end. When these corporations who are saving tens of millions of dollars in taxes are not fulfilling their own obligations to their communities.
Well said. Well said. I mean, there is the obligation the healthcare organizations have to care for their employees. We know that is part of what's called the quadruple aim, how to improve care in this country. One of the pillars for improvement is really the staff experience with it being with their work. How satisfied are they with their work and what kind of support do they get? I think it's one of the reasons why nurses strike is because they get the sense that the organization just is taking advantage of the work that they are providing rather than realizing that that is the duty the healthcare organization has, is to care for those employees so they can care for the patients. I was really glad to see that you had these recommendations for healthcare organizations, including picking up on this idea that you found that nurses really need to be able to communicate with their families. So having that kind of communication, effective communication at infrastructure, having adequate PPE and adequate staff support. So that it's really important, I think. So as we wrap up here, when I'm hospitalized, I want taken care of by a nurse who does feel a sense of obligation or a duty to care for me. I want to make sure I'm not being abandoned. I want to make sure that, you know, they're really putting my interests first. Now, I don't expect them to sacrifice their families for me most of the times. But to what extent, you know, do you argue that nurses need to hold on to this duty to care and that it's in the best interests of the health of our country? What's your position on that?
So I think that most nurses do feel this duty to care. And I think that, you know, the whole research inquiry field right now of moral injury really talks about this, that most healthcare workers go into their work with a duty to care, that, you know, they feel this sort of moral obligation, and that it's really the disconnect between that moral obligation and the experience in these sort of work environments that's causing this moral injury, or this sort of radical moral disagreement that a lot of healthcare workers are experiencing. So I don't think that the healthcare workers necessarily need to do much different. I think they need to continue to advocate for themselves. So as you mentioned, this is where strikes are coming from. We've seen some progress with staffing ratios in New York in recent years, and I think we need to continue to push that forward and to just advocate for the profession. Nurses have a duty to care for the patients for whom they are assigned, but I think they also have a duty to advocate for the nursing profession to really push this forward. I want to show up to work and provide excellent care for patients, but it's sort of hard to do that when there are roadblocks in the way, and when, you know, you're working for an organization that doesn't really have the same values that you do. So we can do this with advocacy. We can also sort of vote with our feet and choose to work for places that enforce ratios and work for different organizations that really show their obligation to their own communities. So, you know, I really feel like it's not necessarily a personal issue. I think it's really a sort of an organizational issue.
So, go ahead.
And I'd just like to, you know, I repeat with what Rosemary just said, but, and I also agree, you know, nurses have a sense of duty to care, but, you know, we're really, I think, you know, to represent the nurses who responded to this study, you know, our well-being is important as well.
Yes.
And our well-being in the workplace is just, you know, is important as well. And so just, you know, nurses advocating for patients, but also advocating for ourselves.
And that's Dr. Jody Sutherland, assistant professor of nursing at the Decker College of Nursing and Health Sciences, State University of New York, SUNY Binghamton. And her colleague is Dr. Rosemary Collier, also an assistant professor at the Decker College of Nursing and Health Sciences. The study was published in the May issue of the American Journal of Nursing, and it's entitled Exploring U.S. Nurses' Perceived Duty to Care During the COVID-19 pandemic. Jody and Rosemary, thank you so much for doing the study and for coming on to Health Cetera in the Catskills today. And I'm going to look forward to your next study. I hope you'll do a follow-up.
Thank you.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Yeah. Good, important work. And we're going to be talking more about some of these issues in the weeks and months to come, as I'm hearing a lot of concerns around nurse staffing these days and ratios, and I think I'm going to have to do a program on that. Well, you've been listening to Health Cetera in the Catskills. I'm Diana Mason, the host of this program. Go out and enjoy what looks like right now a sunny day. The clouds have parted in Roxbury, New York, but maybe not where you're at. Have a great day.